This is Will's Band of the Week for November 8th, 2015. Another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Craig from the Ipswich Bureau.
I'm here.
I could have said live, but it sounds right to say live from the Ipswich Bureau, because as we're recording it, it's live. But
yeah, we're here. We are actually doing this in real time.
It's as live as it gets, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to call it live.
Live on Saturday evening here.
And on late Saturday afternoon here. A fall, about 50 degree Saturday afternoon.
No, I don't know what 50 degrees means. I'm sorry.
Fahrenheit.
Yeah, we don't have...
I know. We're just nerds here. I think it would be about... let me see. 32 for us is 0 for you. So you go up 18 and a Celsius degree. I don't know. Would it be 10 or something? Something like that.
Okay, that's roughly comparable to here then. We've had 4 or 5 solid days of rain though.
You know, I really think that the United States should use the metric system. It's just, there's something about it that's just cooler, like from a mathematical perspective. You know, back in, I've probably talked about this before. I'm being an aging rocker, I start repeating things. That's what happens.
But all those drugs.
Yeah, right. So I think it was about in like the late 70s, maybe. United States decided we really should switch over to the metric system. It's clearly a better method. And so what they did is they started giving all the weather reports, they would give the temperature in both the Celsius and the Fahrenheit.
Okay.
But of course, it didn't work because nobody paid attention to the Celsius, right? I mean, you kind of have to go cold turkey to learn it, right? You have to not know the other measurement. The same thing if you went from meters to, you know, feet and inches, you know, which is also ridiculous.
But. Yeah, the changeover period is difficult between the units. So I presume the same thing must have happened here, not in my lifetime, though. And we still have both Fahrenheit and Celsius on the weather reports today.
Oh, do you really?
But the older generation, so my parents and older, would understand Fahrenheit.
Okay.
And they're just getting used to Celsius, I think, and then everyone younger. Anyone under 40, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, would only know Celsius.
I didn't realize that you had a similar changeover there.
You'll have to come and visit, and then you'll see on the weather reports. We have both.
And I think, you know, I think in Canada, I think they only give the Celsius, if I remember correctly. So maybe Grant has a handle on that now.
Yes, we'll have to, have to dial in and ask him.
Now, what about measurements in, like, do they ever give feet and inches, or is everything over there in centimeters, meters?
Height, people's height, people always say in feet and inches.
Okay.
No matter what your age. What other, in the greengrocers, so when you're buying fruit and vegetables, that's always, they tried to get it to move over, make it illegal to quote the weight in pounds and ounces, the European Union, but the people disagree. They said, no, we can't possibly. We don't understand what these grams and kilograms mean. So greengrocers still quote in both.
Okay. And beer is in pints, right?
That's right, yeah.
So that's just too traditional to mess with, right?
Yeah, it's about 600 and something milliliters.
Yeah.
So it doesn't sound the same as, you know, one pint. That's good.
There was some restaurant that I was reading their menu online, and I was looking at their beer menu, and they were saying that different beers would come in different standard sizes. And so some of them came in a 400 milliliter, and some came in a 600. I'm like, okay, now I've got to figure this out. I don't know. Maybe they thought they sounded cool and cutting edge or something. Not sure. All right. Those important things now beyond us.
Yeah. Do you know what else important has been happening in the UK this week? That happens every year at this time.
What's that?
I don't know if you know about this in the States. So in 1605, There was a plot to blow up the House of Lords when the King of England was in there. And now on the 5th of December, 1605. And now on the 5th of December every year. 5th of November, that was 3 days ago, 2 days ago. We have firework displays and bonfires in every town in the country.
From 1605?
Yes, they made it a law a few months after the plot was foiled to celebrate the king wasn't killed. That it became a law to celebrate this fact by having bonfires.
Wow.
That law has been repealed now, but still the custom, the tradition goes on, and it's probably the next thing after Christmas, which people really enjoy. I suppose Thanksgiving for you there, but for us, we call it bonfire night.
So, and everybody just has a big fire. Does it ever cause a problem, like that there's an accidental large fire?
No, I haven't heard of anything like that.
That's kind of a fun thing.
Yeah, usually in the newspapers the next day, some teenagers messing around with fireworks. Someone might have gone to hospital, but it's a very, you know, very rare that anything like that happens.
Yeah,
people are responsible.
Now, how do you do it, though? I mean, if you live on a big lot and you've got a fire pit or something, you can do it. But if you live in a city or an apartment building, like, how do you do your bonfire?
Well, you'd probably go down to one of the displays organized by the council of the city.
Yeah, the town square or something will have a big bonfire.
Yeah, most towns have parks, of course, and most cities. So, yeah, in big parks in London, they have the free displays.
Well, that's cool. Now, that is an educational item that...
American listeners may not have been aware. No. Or Australian listeners may not have been aware.
I think Nicholas needs to tell us about some cool Australian stuff, too. You know, traditions that we wouldn't know about. Like Australian rules football that nobody can understand. No,
we like to keep the podcast down to an hour, so I don't know if you...
Yeah, that's true. He would give us like the rule book, and it would take like 35 minutes, right? But it'd be very entertaining.
Yeah. Of course, yeah, scintillating.
Now, what do we have here? We've got some fun music to talk about for sure. You said you've got a live report, so I'm going to leave the listeners hanging, and before the live report, I'm going to indicate that this is my music news. It's not even music news. I just have a thing to mention.
Oh,
somebody posted a comment on the blog page, if that's what you call it, you know, the web page where we put all the episodes up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You can post comments there, and I had to set it up to have the comments moderated because I kept getting spam comments, you know, somebody selling shoes or something. And so I set it up with this moderation thing where you have to post it, and then it gives me a message that, you know, I approve or disapprove. So somebody posted a really nice comment, and then I approved it, and it disappeared. So, and now I can't remember who posted it or even what it was. I just remember that this is a nice comment. So, thank you for your comment, person whose comment got lost. And
oh, we're so slick and professional.
I know, and I think the better thing to do, and I hate having to rely on Facebook, but just go to the Facebook page and post it there. Probably more people will see it there anyway, right?
Yeah, I think it's a real shame. This person's now probably thinking, damn you, podcast.
Right.
Why did you not allow my comment to be public?
Exactly. They think, oh, God, I listened to that podcast a couple times, and I thought it was pretty good, but those guys are clearly jerks, so I'm never going to listen again.
Too cool to allow my comment to
appear. Right. Yeah, well, maybe he's listening, or he or she, so we'll find out.
Please repost the comment to Facebook.
Yes, please do that. All right, now I think it's time. I think that means there's a live report.
Yeah, it sounds like Steppenwolf rehearsing in a basement.
Steppenwolf.
It always makes me think of a 70s stadium rock.
Right, like Born to be Wild or something. Yep, it is kind of like that.
So I went to see Protomartyr.
You did? All right, now that's cool.
On a couple of occasions, in fact.
So they came through town. I knew they were touring the UK.
Yeah, not exactly through town. I had to go to the town where they were coming through, but that's okay. It's a small country.
Yeah, you can get around.
Yeah. So the first time, it was a Friday evening in Brighton, which is on the south coast. It's my favourite venue in the UK. It's called the Green Door Store. So hello, if you're listening down there in Brighton. So Protomartyr were headlining there. And I've had in previous years, my favorite gig of the year has been there. So I was really quite looking forward to this because I hadn't seen Proto Martyr before, mm-hmm. and Sauna Youth was supporting, who's a regular listener to the podcast will know that. I introduced that band to the podcast a few months back.
Yes.
So yeah, the lineup was very exciting. Well, I think it was good, but I wouldn't say it was outstanding. It was good to see Proto Martyr for the first time, but I don't know. I think they're a really interesting band. Maybe they need to be seen a couple of times, three times, just to really understand them. There's quite a lot going on. I think the guitar is really interesting, and it's quite difficult to follow what he's up to. And you can't really take your eyes off the singer, the front man, because he's so unique.
Right.
Yeah, the drummer and bassist also doing interesting things. So it's kind of a lot to take in.
Yep. Well, maybe it had something to do with expectations, too. I went in when I first saw them and had no expectations, and I was just like, wow, this is just, I've never seen anything like this before. Mainly the front man, Joe Casey.
Yeah.
But then you went to see him at a second venue?
Yeah, that was in London a couple of days after that.
So how were they, very similar or different?
I think, yeah, it's funny you ask that, because sometimes you'd expect it just to be quite similar. It's a touring band going through the set, but they changed the set a bit, so that was good. And also Joe Casey's delivery, he seemed, in Brighton it was more as you described it well before, when you said he just stands there,
mm-hmm.
which I was laughing because I could remember you saying it. But then in London, he was more, he moving around, he was walking around the stage, shouting more rather than delivering the lyrics. So that was kind of different. But apart from that, the same, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's kind of good. Maybe he mixes it up depending on how he's feeling on a particular night.
Yeah, I would say he was more up for the London one.
If you're a band on tour and you're playing the same songs and you're touring, and right now they're probably pretty early on with the newer songs, that probably still feels pretty fresh. But, you know, 4 or 5 months into the tour, you probably got to do things to mix it up to make it interesting for yourselves, right?
Yeah, sure.
So,
another point I wanted to make is about the length of the set, really. Can you ever do any harm by playing a shorter set? I mean, being sensible about it. If you come on and play 5 minutes, people will just be a bit annoyed with you. But if you play 40 minutes, 45, mm-hmm. and just go off, the audience is never going to think that's bad. They're only going to want more, aren't they?
I think generally in our world, that's kind of generally true. We've talked about that before. And Baird in particular is a fan of the shorter sets because, you know, he was saying, you know, how often are you just thinking, oh God, you got to play more, you know? Usually it's just like, yeah, if you sound good and you're kind of efficient, it doesn't have to be a long set. Yeah, that's my general thought. Yep.
So I think Proto Martyr played maybe 15 or 20 minutes too long on both nights. But the songs that were good were really good. So the couple of tracks from the new album, Clandestine Time, Why Does It Shake, both. Yeah, Pontiac 87 is another really good one. They all sounded great.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I never listened to their first album too much, but the last two, I like them so much that I don't think I could ever, like, be unhappy if they just played all of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right. So it's kind of a middle of the road review.
Yeah, but I'll definitely see them. He said they're coming back in 2016, so I'll definitely go and catch them again.
And hopefully they'll be swinging around this area again, so I will definitely go see them again. So how is Sauna Youth sounding these days?
Yeah, they're good. They're still touring the new album that came out. Touring, I mean, when they play, they're still playing those songs.
Yeah.
Still playing their 20-minute sets, hurtling through it. It's always very energetic. Very fast. They don't have gaps between the songs or anything, so they get through it. It's always exciting.
Did I ever tell you about seeing the Ramones? All right, I think I've mentioned it on the podcast.
It's the kind of thing you try and mention.
Yeah, so I saw the Ramones in about 1980. That's hard to believe.
Yeah, how many years ago?
I saw them twice, actually. I saw them on the Northwestern University campus, which is just north of Chicago, which I believe was 1980. And then I saw them in Madison when I was here as a college student in about probably 81 or 82. And I remember thinking, you know, this is just really cool and really fun for about maybe 35 or 40 minutes. And then it was just like, you know, now they're just playing, they're really just playing the same song. They're going to keep going. And, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, and it was cool. But that was another example of they could have played shorter, because they really never, on some of their albums, they would throw in a ballad, which always sounded kind of out of place. Yeah. And live, they were just, it was all just 1, 2, 3, 4 and go. So,
I think I heard about one gig where they played the same set twice. I think that was them. Came on 20 minutes, went off, but came back on for the encore and played the same
and
set
again.
that would just be brilliant.
Yeah, that would be really
Wouldn't
good.
Work for many bands, but for them, I think it would work well. Anything punky would work.
Yeah, that's good. All right, let's see. We've got our live report. Nobody died this week in the world of music who is important enough for us to recognize, right?
As far as I know.
Right. And all right. So are we gonna go to the feature
I think
film?
The listeners are gagging for a bit of music now.
Yes, it's time. All right. The Chills, New Zealand band.
Yeah, from 1981. And this is they've had a new album's just come out, first in 19 years, which is incredible.
And you can't even call them indie rock veterans, because the term indie rock didn't even exist really when they started, right? And even I don't know if I discovered them until, like, it must have been around 89 or 90. You're going to have these dates better than me. But when Soft Bomb and Submarine Bells came out. So
Submarine Bells, 1990.
Okay, so, yeah. So I had those two albums. But yeah, there was nothing called indie rock even back then, right?
They sort of helped to create the genre, but yeah. I don't think, no, there was no such thing.
So, yeah, first, you know, how often does that happen? First album in 19 years. Usually, when somebody's been gone that long, they don't come back. So, I think this is one where we should play some music before we get to our very intellectual discussion that we're going to have. Don't you think? Or you were saying you wanted to, like, go into the history a little bit. Should we go back to some early Chills to lead up to this?
I think it's deserved to do that in this case, because to me, this is one of the great bands of the style of music that we generally feature on the podcast, and great exponent. And yeah, it's the first time they've been talked about, I think. Well, you may have mentioned them in passing, but first time they've been featured. So
yeah, definitely.
It'd be good to have some of the classic, a sample of the classic tracks, and we could compare how the sound is the same or different to what they're doing right now.
Yeah, that makes sense. So let's go back. Let's go back in time. Take us back. Do you have something that we should play?
Yeah. Well, this is the song which I first heard of theirs and was featured on lots of Rough Trade indie compilations in the last 10 years. And perhaps the song they're best known for is Pink Frost. I think we should listen to that.
All right. Here it is. Pink Frost. You know that it's about the third time I've ever heard that song. The first time was when you told me about it earlier this week.
Wow.
Yeah, my entrance point for the chills was later. So that's interesting to hear.
Yeah. So to me, that's all I knew of them. And I thought, oh, this band has made just one good song, an obscure New Zealand band. And then I happened to see them live at the Indie Tracks. It's a small indie pop music festival held in the UK at a steam railway every July. I've talked about it on the podcast before.
Yeah.
And they were playing there live just a couple of years ago. And I thought every song they played was brilliant. And I thought, hold up. They must have more than one good song then. And then I went back and listened to some of the, more of the stuff.
Yeah. So now maybe some people will have a 2015 Chills reference point because of us, right?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
So Submarine Bells, that was the first one that I heard. So we should maybe play something from that. That has the song Heavenly Pop Hit on it, which is kind of a classic title, right?
Yeah. It's, and you'd think if someone gives a song that title, it better be good.
Yeah, you're putting pressure on yourself.
It's good.
Yeah. So here's some of that.
Heavenly Pop Hit.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's one of the, yeah, a very good one.
From Submarine Bells from 1990.
Now that really is an album. If the listeners haven't heard that, that's one I'd really recommend going back to listen to. And I was reading something online which said, you know, at this time REM were, well, maybe two or three years later, REM were a massive band, one of the biggest in the world. And the Chills, well, certainly millions of people haven't heard of them. Probably most people will never hear of them. And
right.
I don't know. It's difficult to compare band to band, but it's very good songwriting, probably on a par with REM, and yet no one's ever heard of them, so it's a bit of a shame.
Yeah, definitely.
We're here to correct that.
Yeah. After they appear on this podcast, they're going to explode. So, and then there was the Soft Bomb album in 1992. Did you listen to that one?
Yeah, I do know that one.
So we should play a track from that one too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Then we'll skip way forward. So I think we agreed that the song Male Monster from the Id was a good song, right?
Yeah, that one stood out in the live set for me, and then when I went back to listen to it. So it is one of his, Martin Phillips is the singer, main member of the Chills, and one of his common themes is domestic violence, and it's covered in Pink Frost and also in this song.
I haven't
That's a quality track, right?
Yeah. It is. That's track one on the album. So we just played two track ones from Soft Bomb and Suburban Bells.
Right.
So that's interesting.
Yep. So like 20 years go by, and I read that he had some real tough times, right? He was addicted to drugs for a while, and who knows, like, what, if anything, was going on in his life. And so here we have a comeback album.
You got to call it that, yeah. It's almost like a new band starting, 19 years.
2015, yeah. Right. But I guess so, you saw them play a couple of years ago, so he was starting to do some live shows. And I guess Martin Phillips has been the only consistent band member, so it's kind of his project. But
that's right, yeah.
Obviously, he has put together decent bands around him.
There must be, just, I imagine if you go to New Zealand, they're just people who can play jangly guitar and those kind of rolling indie drums.
Right.
Just on every street corner, because the number of bands who come out of there, it's a small, relatively small country. I don't mean to do any disservice.
Oh, it's a pretty small country, and also the city the Chills are from is called Dunedin, and I think it's like 125,000 people. It's not a big city. So, Auckland.
Yeah, he keeps finding these bands to play with him.
Yeah. The city you always hear about is Auckland, right? That must be the biggest city in New Zealand. And that's, I don't know how big it is, but I'm sure it's a lot bigger.
Yes.
But still.
Auckland, Wellington, and Christchurch are the biggest towns, I believe.
All right. So you're a little bit more up on your New Zealand geography than I am. But, all right. So, yeah, there's a new album, and we're going to talk about it, right?
Let's do it.
And it's called Silver Bullets. And I think, again, let's play a track, and then we'll discuss it further. So you should take the first pick.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, okay, well, I've got three choices, and there's one which we definitely have to play, and I don't know if you're going to pick it, so I'll pick that, and then I'll leave you to...
It's a strategy thing. I've got three, too.
Okay, we're going to go track five, America Says Hello.
America Says Hello. Well, we're on track so far. That was my first pick, too.
Oh, brilliant. So I didn't need to take the risk that you wouldn't pick
it.
And the reason, well, I don't know. It's just, there's so much to say about this. It's a bit boring when someone goes on and on about how much they like something if you're just not getting it. But to me, when I hear these bands from New Zealand and the Chills particularly, to me, this is what indie music, it's just the indie music that I love. I love the sound of this, the guitar and his voice. And it's really kind of almost I don't know, almost beautiful music, but then with these really, you know, politically inspired lyrics. So there's some meaning there as well.
Right. Yeah. I love the way his voice combines with that. You know, it's a really simple guitar, just a reverb-y kind of ringing guitar sound that I think just, it all mixes just great. And yeah, that's a standout. So
if there's been a better lyric than this in the last, well, few years, please write in. It's a small world after all, a lonely blue and white ball. It's brilliant.
Yeah, you know.
What a couplet that is.
There was a review I read, it might have been the Pitchfork review, but I'm not sure, where they didn't like the lyrics to this song, where they said it sounds like a drunken rant at 3 a.m. or something. And I thought, come on, you know, you're not supposed to be analytical in a rock song, right? You can rant, right? And that can be effective. So, yeah, I'm totally, I got no problem with the lyrics and the whole thing. It's just great.
Yeah, I strongly disagree with Pitchfork on that one.
Yeah.
But they're entitled to their view, as I'm entitled to mine.
So I'll have a little bit more to say about this album, but generally I'm going to say I think it's really consistent. So you can pick a standout track like that one, and then it's like, okay, where do you go next? Because you could go just about anywhere on this. So there's one that's a little slower that I think is just really, it's just got a great sound to it. So I'm going to play Underwater Wasteland. Underwater Wasteland, and that's from the new album by The Chills. Their first in, did we say 19 or 20 years?
Well, not 19. Yeah, you can round it up to 20.
It's a long time.
Yeah,
the album is called Silver Bullets, and people people should listen to it, right?
I think they should. Yeah, that was another good pick there. One word I would associate with The Chills is an atmospheric sound,
right?
And you definitely, and you always worry, I think. I can't say they're one of my favourite bands because I haven't seen them that much. And to me, seeing a band live is very important. But I saw them the one time. But you always worry when a band's coming back, can they deliver? I mean, as I said earlier in the podcast, they're hardly the same band if they've been gone that long. It's a generation.
Yep.
But I think they really have delivered here. I really like this album.
They've totally delivered. And you know, the more I listen to this album, the more I like it. And I think that you know, somewhat amazingly, after all that time, I think this is their best album. I had those two albums, Submarine Bells and Soft Bomb. And it's interesting because when I digitized, well, I guess they're already digitized if they're on a CD, right? But when I put all my music on my computer back in about, you know, whenever I started doing that, probably 2005 or something, I saved I didn't save every track from those two albums. So clearly, and I haven't gone back and listened, but so clearly I didn't think that just, you know, consistently that they were great. But I had like half of each album. But this album, I think, is really consistent. So I think they've not only pulled off a good album, but they've pulled off a comeback album that's actually their best album. So that's just amazing, I think.
Amazing indeed, yeah.
So we need to play another track. So what's it going to be?
Well, I think just to show they still have that trademark, another trademark of the Chills is the licking guitar riffs. And, the intro to this, track three, Silver Bullets, so the title track of the album, I think the intro is absolutely brilliant, the licking guitar riff.
Title track, Silver Bullets. You know, there's so much more we could play, but we probably should adhere to our podcast restraint and just play three.
I think that's fair. And then the listeners can, at their own leisure, go away and listen to more if they wish to.
Right. Absolutely. So I think one other comment, there's a song on the album called Tomboy, where he just repeats the word tomboy over and over again. And he actually pulls it off. You know, usually... I'm not a fan of like the chorus that says the same thing 20 times in a row. Like, I think Best Coast did that a couple times, not very effectively. And, that song is just, he's lamenting the fact that people get labeled, you know? So it's an interesting, good lyric, and I think they pull it off. So, this is a highly recommended album by me, and I think you too.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, I got distracted because... while we have been recording this podcast, Martin Phillips has been tweeting.
So what's he saying? Is he excited because he heard we're talking about him?
He said, I know there's some nerds, one in England, one in the States.
No, right.
He doesn't know that yet.
No.
They had the album launch gig in Dunedin last night. I think it was yesterday. I get the time difference between New Zealand and UK. Yeah. So Friday night in New Zealand, they had the album launch. And he's replying to tweets of people who are saying they enjoyed it.
Good. He must be happy about it, I would hope, anyway.
Yeah, I think... yeah, he's already said he's excited for the big plans in 2016, which it better include a European tour.
So there's not... Is there not a... Yeah, I think I looked, and I think it was only New Zealand and maybe Australia are right now on the tour plans.
Yeah, so, it's quite usual for bands to play in Australia. Well, obviously, if you're from New Zealand, it's not as far, but like the Australian summer festival season is obviously in January and February. Well, obviously, but it is. So, yeah, they have lots of gigs and festivals and shows in that time of year in Australia.
they're kind of halfway across the world from, you know, from the UK and from the United States. It's not it's close to either place. But yeah, I sure hope they make it here. I could certainly understand that it would be cost prohibitive, but the church made it back here a couple times, so I think the Chills can do it. I'm optimistic.
If they play Madison, I think I'll have to come, but we'll see. It'll be cost prohibitive for me.
You should.
But let's leave that for another time.
That would be so cool. You could do a podcast from live from Fourth Bedroom Studios.
Oh, well, okay, well, we just wouldn't be able to handle it.
Yeah, we have a goal. Short of that, we could maybe meet in Chicago. It's easier to get to Chicago. But of course, once you make it to Chicago, you can make it here. It's just a little three-hour side trip.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
Do we have more for this evening? More music?
Actually, we do. Yeah. You know, just when you think that it's been so great already, that how could they top that? And we're not going to top it, but we're going to just still add something interesting, right?
Keep it coming. Yeah.
Right. So, in the category of bands who get their name by looking in a random direction and naming the object they see, I think that's how they come up with this name, right?
I can't think of any other way.
Yeah. It's called car seat headrest. You know, why not? That's kind of my thought. Just your name of your band can just be anything. So why not car seat headrest? This is a guy who apparently had like 10 albums on Bandcamp, and he was just recording stuff like crazy for a few years, and then somebody from Matador Records discovered him, said, "Hey, how would you like to sign Matador Records?" He's like, "Oh, cool."
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, pretty good deal for him. I think there's a little bit of randomness to it in that there are a lot of talented people on Bandcamp who would love to get discovered by Matador Records. So I think this guy is good, but I think there's kind of a little bit of a luck factor going on too. But
I was going to say something along those very lines.
I read that he also performed under the name Will Toledo, but it was implied. But it was implied that his name isn't actually Will Toledo either. But it's a guy who now calls.
Is he from Toledo? No, I know that he's not. So
he lived in Virginia and then he moved to Seattle. Apparently, he moved to Seattle for indie rock stardom. Now that's a different kind of a thing to do. I mean, not necessarily a bad thing. Maybe you should give him credit, or we should give him credit because he didn't move to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom. He went.
Oh, Brooklyn is so passe.
Yeah, he went.
Seattle is
He went West Coast. So I think that his recordings, there's definitely a Guided by Voices comparison to be made, because it's I don't even know how to describe it, but it's kind of like intentionally sloppy, but not really sloppy, but kind of like he's not going to be bound by some certain conventions. So sometimes the mixes are just really weird, and but there are a lot of good melodies in there, and I think it's kind of interesting. So the album is called Teens of Style. I'll pick the track with the super catchy chorus to start out with. It's called Something Soon.
Biting my clothes to keep from screaming, taking pills to keep from dreaming. I want to break something important. I want to kick my dad in the shit. I was referring to the present and past tense. It was the only way that I could survive it. I want to close my head in the car door. I want to sing this song like I'm naughty. I'm
car seat headrest.
And something soon.
Yep. He had a lyric in there about, I want to close my head in the car door. So it's a little
filling in forms from the printer. Yeah. I suppose that's job applications or something like that.
Yep.
But really, it's a chorus for the ages, isn't it? How can you not love that the first time you hear it? It may get tired soon because it's so immediate, but right. the first few times, you could listen to it over and over.
Right, and the kind of fun thing about it is it kind of comes up unexpectedly, right? Which, because it's not like all the rest of the music has that level of catchiness. But then it just suddenly hits you. So, yeah, kind of cool. So, did you get a chance to listen to this?
I listened to it a bit, and that something soon, that track, because it's so immediate, that stood out. And because it sounds so familiar as well, I just was thinking, listening again then, it reminds me of Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah, which is a band that I liked from the early 2000s.
Yep.
But just that one song sounds like that, just the catchiness. I could make a pick.
Let's do it.
But it's only a minute long, my pick, so I don't know what you're going to... You just have to play, I don't know, a third of it or something?
Yeah, we'll play like 54 seconds.
And then track six, so psst, teenagers, take off your clothes. Send me a I got it bad now, I want your clothes.
Okay, we didn't play the whole song, so we won't get sued.
That's good.
Maybe we will get sued.
As this stuff's been available on Bandcamp for free for years, I doubt. Yeah. Well, you never know. Matador Records will be knocking on your door in the morning.
Right. I keep thinking that at some point in time, I'm going to get some really hostile message, you know, and it's going to be like, take down this podcast by the close of business tomorrow or something. Like that. And then...
But, your dreams will receive a message like that.
Well, exactly. It's like if anybody cared that much, it would be really fun, right? We'd probably we'd milk it for publicity, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So they won't dare do that. So yeah, it's the 1 minute song, and they're actually one thing I'm going to say that I like about this album is that several of the songs are like 5 or 6 minutes, and almost every one of those longer songs, they do something interesting in the middle, like. 3 or 4 minutes in, it'll completely change. So that makes the whole album, I think, kind of an adventurous listen. And
I'm glad you mentioned that point, because that's something which I think gives an album more longevity, perhaps. I think the recent Protomartyr album has that, and the Chills album, which we just discussed, the tracks do something different in the second half or the third part, you know. And it's just... Right. It makes it more interesting, and it may be not that hard to write songs like that. I don't know, but it just makes it more interesting for the listener and more appealing for me.
Right. I'm not sure how hard it is, but it's certainly, when you look at from the other side of it, a lot of times people write songs that just, the 5 minute song that kind of just drags on, you know, just keep, play the chorus 5 more times, you know, which is just unnecessary. So, so I'll make another pick. And this is one that the listeners will have to listen to the rest of the song, because I'm just cluing you in that it does some fun stuff. So, but you'll hear the beginning of it at least. It's called Strangers.
Thank you.
this car seat headrest. So a couple of additional notes. First of all, clearly Matador Records decided to just allow it to sound like a home recording, right?
Yeah, it retains that quality, doesn't it?
Right, and they could have just said, okay, we're gonna make you record this in a professional studio, or they could have said, we're going to mix it or whatever to make it sound more professional, but they clearly thought that it would be better to leave it this way. So that's kind of cool, I think. Another interesting thing is that they are going to tour, and they're going to play in Madison in 3 weeks, so I'm hoping to go see that, because I'm curious to see how you make a live band and performance out of that. I think it's going to be interesting. There's a lot of stuff in there. Like there's prominent keyboards in some of the songs, and there's like a random kind of a horn sound, and it'll be interesting to see how it all fits together.
I hope it isn't, for your sake, one guy with a laptop.
Right.
Because that's not a favorite thing of the podcast.
I am Car Seat Headrest, and I'm going to stand with a laptop. No, that'd be bad. That would result in a negative review. By me.
Well, hold on, though. What date is the one in Madison? In November, is that?
November 28th, I think it is.
That is 10 days after he's playing in London.
Oh, really? Interesting.
So if I do go, I won't spoil it for you, because obviously, yeah. But yeah, it just so happens, when you told me we were going to be talking about, in the extensive pre-production meetings, when you told me we would talk about Car Seat Headrest, I looked up his tour dates, because I found that the first part of the album so catchy. I thought, oh, I want to go and see this. Yeah, so he's playing. I think I may go on the 18th just to see him.
Is he playing with anybody else?
It just says Car Seat Headrest. So I don't, whether that means a band or just him, I don't know.
So, well, I'm just wondering, like, if he's like second on the bill with a more prominent thing. But I guess if you're on Matador Records, maybe you get tour support. Because when he plays here, he's playing at the Frequency, the really small venue. But it's billed as the headlining band is called Knee High, which is a Chicago band that I sampled and didn't get very excited about. And then a local Madison band called Trophy Dad that I actually like a lot is opening. So I'll at least get to see two. I don't know if I'll stay for the headliner. You know you're cool if you don't stay for the headliner, right? Because you're just like, no, I'm just not interested.
I don't think I'm allowed to say that, because I do it quite a lot. I definitely wouldn't say that I'm cool. But
I'm saying, like, this is being like an aloof indie rocker, right? Like a Brooklyn hipster. In other words, like a completely annoying person, like they can accuse me of.
Yeah. This happened to me. There's more to say about Car Seat Headrest, but I'm going onto a tangent now. This same thing happened to me this past week. We went to see two gigs in one night in London. And the first was a band from the Netherlands, from Rotterdam, called Rats on Rafts, who I think we should discuss on a future podcast, actually. Huh. And they were supporting a band called Mourn. I think they're from Spain. Maybe.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, I talked about them. Oh,
sorry. Did we talk about them on the podcast before?
I mentioned them, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would have liked to stay for Mourn, but Sauna Youth were playing across town. So we left after Rats on Rafts. But the funny thing was, there's a guy there. I don't know him. I've spoken to him very briefly once. I think he's a big fan of the indie pop scene in London. So I see him there quite a lot. And he was down in the front row. He always has his front row place. He clearly was not enjoying Rats on Rafts at all. But me and my friends were, I wouldn't say dancing is an exaggeration, but grooving, because we know the songs. And he was looking at me thinking, why is this guy into this? I didn't think he liked this krautrock style stuff. And then he would have seen me leave, because I'm 6'7", I'm very tall. So I don't want to think that everyone in the place is looking at me, but he would have noticed that I wasn't there, I think, later.
Uh-huh.
So he's probably thinking, hey, what's this guy doing just leaving the venue? Surely he's here to see Mourn, like me, the indie band. But anyway, so.
But he's so cool, he's going to his second gig of the night.
Well, no, I don't know. So definitely not that.
See, I don't know how you would time that. I mean, it'd be a rare occasion, in Madison where you could ever do that, because there'd be too much overlap, to leave one venue and go to the other one and have the timing work out.
Even in London, where there's things every night, really. No, sure. I couldn't look through the diary and find something every night, but it depends on your taste. There's events, but it doesn't come up that often where you can go to more than one thing on a night.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it worked out. Once I went to three, that was good. And one of them was Gang of Four. So that was quite fun.
Wow. That's good. Well, I think we're at that $0 worth point, right? We've just, the needle just went from the negative to the, well, wait a minute. You said you had something more to say about car seat headrest. We got to hear that.
Yeah, but I may have forgotten what it was now because I've just been rambling. I'd like to have a beer when I'm recording. So I had a nice Belgian Trappist beer here. So it's gone to my head a bit. And
so now all those brilliant thoughts about car seat headrests could just fade away. And
this is it. I've got, sorry, it's come back. So I was thinking an interesting game to play is, would Pitchfork like this?
Yeah.
Because they have their, this is what I call, not to discredit car seat headrest, because I quite like it, but it's kind of what I would call the Animal Collective or the Panda Bear sort of sound. It doesn't sound similar. It's not the same type of music, but it's kind of that thrown together North American sound of the last 5-10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, when I hear car seat headrest, I know Pitchfork will like it. I just know.
I'm looking it up right now. I think I read it.
If I'm proved wrong, live on the podcast.
I think they liked it. Let's see.
You should make me guess the score.
Yeah, guess the score. You're on the honor system that you haven't seen it, right?
They're perennial sticklers. I don't know. 7.6, maybe?
8.1.
Oh, okay. Well, so they did like it.
Yep, they definitely liked it. And then you wonder, too, how much are they influenced by the fact that it's on Matador? And we've never really tried to analyze that, right? If we went up a Pitchfork conspiracy theory, or would they even review it if it wasn't on a big label? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't know if they reviewed his stuff before when he was releasing all these albums on Bandcamp.
Yeah, they rarely release anything that's only on Bandcamp that I've ever seen. All right, good. All right, I should let you go because it's getting late in the UK.
Yeah. It's close to midnight. So.
Yeah, so you're like a real rocker, and I'm like a late afternoon aging rocker.
But, something like that.
Yeah. Well, you'll be glad to know that the dog is here, but he's sleeping. He's not very excited by this whole scene tonight.
So he slept through the New Order special, and now he's sleeping through the chills and car seat headrest. This is...
Yep. Yep.
Well, you said he likes the mainstream stuff, so maybe Taylor Swift.
Right, yeah. And think if he heard those beats... Of Taylor Swift, he'd probably perk up a little bit. Yep. All right. Well, thanks again. It's always good to have you on, especially when Barrett has other obligations. And Chris, who knows? But as I've said, I think we're going to wake up Chris again when we do the top 10 at the end of the year. And it's getting kind of crowded now in the top 10, which is a good thing, right?
You don't want to be struggling to fill the places. You want to be whittling down from a larger list.
As a bonus for a reward for the listeners who have listened this long, have made it through this podcast, I'll say I'm not going to be able to keep that Chills album out of the top 10. It's like it's forced its way in there. So that means somebody else gets forced out. So
something has been displaced. Yeah,
it's a cruel competitive world in rock and roll, right? I was thinking I'm going to have to just make a top 20 this year because there's too many things I really like. So I'll just list 20 just so that the, 11 through 20 don't feel too bad.
Yeah.
That I didn't make
but maybe time. Post that on the Facebook page on the website.
So, yeah, exactly. That's
so those bands can come along and check where they finished.
They'll probably be like clicking and clicking and clicking and refreshing their page for waiting to see if they made my top 10.
Yeah, just hammering away on F5.
Right. All right, thanks. I'll let you get some sleep, or maybe you're going to go out now because you're a late night rocker.
No, definitely not.
There's probably some bands playing in Ipswich, right?
Very, very infrequently, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. Well,
okay,
thanks.
Cheers. It's my pleasure.
Okay. We'll talk again soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @willsband. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.